This Sunday, there's going to be an ordination to the priesthood. Deacon Dimitri Culp is going to be ordained a priest. And we've been asked to kind of tell you about the laying on of hands. In order to do that, I'm going to see if we can get a little scripture in you and understand about what a priest is, okay? So before we describe the service, we got to describe, what do we need priests for? Why do we have priests?
Pray for God.
To pray to God, okay. What else? Why else do we have priests?
To help guide us.
To help guide you, okay. To confess you, okay.
To serve liturgy.
To serve liturgy, okay. Those are all good reasons for a priest. One more?
If there's no deacon, it also says that priests can take over from deacons.
Well, yeah, if there's no deacon, the priest does all the deacon's parts, with a couple of small exceptions. Okay, I'm going to tell you a little bit about, from the scripture, about priests. First of all, do you know that the Jewish people had priests that served in the altar, served in the temple? So from the time of Abraham, there were priests. Okay? And so the Jewish religion basically became the Christian religion. Did you know that? Yes. The word of the Lord came to the Jews first, then to the Gentiles. All of us would be the Gentiles. We're the stones that God raised up to Israel. We are, our worship is very much like Jewish worship. If you go to a strict Jewish temple or a synagogue, you'd see that there's similarities to the way they worship and we worship. For instance, we use the Psalter a lot. They sing the Psalms a lot. And so we are a continuation. The Lord said that he came to fulfill the law. The law came to the Jewish people. The law was telling people what's right and wrong. And Jesus Christ came so that we can not only know what's right and wrong, but become good and do what's right. So priests are just a continuation of the Jewish religion, which basically became the Christian religion. Now, I want to tell you a few things about priests. I'm going to tell you a parable real quickly. Anybody know the parable of the Good Samaritan? Who is the Good Samaritan in the parable? What person? Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ. So I'll tell it to you really quickly because I want to get to the end. Okay? So there's a man walking on the road from Jerusalem to Jericho. If you know that region, that's actually going downhill into a very hot place. Jerusalem is up more in the mountains. It's cool and clean. In Jericho, it's hot. So this person is us, okay? And it's sort of like a metaphor. A metaphor is when you kind of make something sound like something, you know, you use an example, right? So this man is going down to Jericho. It's sin. We all have sins. And what do the sins do to us? In this case, the man was attacked by robbers and he was left half dead on the road. And that's what sin does to us. Sin hurts us. And so what happened was a couple different men came by and they didn't help him. And a Samaritan came by and took care of him. So he took care of him. Can you keep a secret? Okay, so the Samaritan, who is Jesus, takes care of the man, brings him to an inn. Okay? You know, a place to sleep, a motel. And takes care of him that day and that night. And then in the morning, he tells the innkeeper, you take care of him. And he gives him some money. And he says, and I will return later. This innkeeper and the inn, guess what they are? Not Jews. Oleg?
Priests.
Priests. And what would the inn be? What does an inn look like? A church. The church. Jesus Christ said to the innkeeper, the priests, the bishops, and to be honest with you, the people, but especially the priests and bishops, to take care of him. So does the Lord Jesus Christ walk the earth anymore? No. Where did he go?
Up to heaven.
Yeah, right? In the ascension. He rose up in the heaven in his body. So he doesn't walk the earth anymore. So how do we get the teaching of the church? From priests and from bishops, right? And really, you should know the teaching of the church too. He said to the innkeeper, you take care of him. So the priests and the bishops and the deacons and anyone else really should take care. We should take care of one another. The priesthood is given by Christ to the church for the church to be taken care of. Okay? I'm going to give you a couple other examples. Because all I really care about, you're not going to remember anything I say in August. You won't have any idea. You won't even remember my name. You'll say some guy from Texas, I think, was talking to me in camp. All I want you to remember is two things. And if I can get one of you guys to do it, I'm going to be happy. I want you to really start to pray, and I want you to start reading the scriptures. If you do those things, then everything opens up to you. We talked about the Good Samaritan. I'm going to talk about what Jesus did on his day of his resurrection. He came into the upper room where the disciples were. He passed right through the doors. He didn't open the doors. He just passed through the doors because his body was a glorified body now. He was still human, but he was a glorified human being after his resurrection. That's the way we're going to become someday. So you're going to be able to pass through doors. How's that? He said to his disciples who were gathered, he said, "Peace be with you." But then he said, "Whatsoever sins ye remit, they are remitted. Whatever sins ye retain, they are retained." Now that's fancy language. In other words, if you say someone's sins are forgiven, they're forgiven. If you don't, they're not. What's he describing? Confession. He's telling his disciples, his apostles, that they can serve the sacrament of confession. And the apostles ordained other bishops, and other bishops ordained other priests, and we have it to this day. Father Antonio and I are directly descended from the apostles. It's called apostolic succession. So priests are to serve the people. But I have a saying for my... Go ahead.
I have a question. So priests are like apostles, kind of, right?
In a way, yeah. I mean, we think of the bishop as the apostle, but we have a prophetic ministry just like the apostles do. Yeah. But see, a priest serves under obedience to a bishop. Bishop Peter told me when I was ordained, he didn't say so many words, but by the ordination he said, "Father Seraphim, take care of this parish. Here's the chrism. You can baptize people. You can chrismate them. You can marry people. You can bury people. You can serve the liturgy. You can give confession to people, and you can do it in this church." And he could say tomorrow, "Father Seraphim, you can't do that anymore. I serve under obedience to him, and so does Father Antoni." So we do what our bishop tells us to do. Now, he doesn't literally call us on the phone and tell us 100 things to do that day. But we know what things he will allow us to do and what things he would not allow us to do. He wouldn't allow me to ordain somebody, right? I don't have the power to ordain. Only bishops have that power. There's other things that a bishop can do that a priest cannot do. I'm the servant of the bishop.
So if the bishop ordains you, he's like a priest and you're like a deacon.
Well, I mean, there are three orders. Okay, let's talk about the three orders of the priesthood, the three major orders. There's a deacon. The deacon means, what does deacon mean literally?
Helper.
Helper, yeah. Okay, and then there's the priest or presbyter, and there's the bishop. A priest or a bishop can serve the liturgy, and when he serves in the altar, he prays, and the body and the blood and the wine and the bread become the body and blood of Jesus Christ with the Holy Spirit coming down upon them. A deacon cannot do that. A deacon assists the priest. Deacons are very important. Deacons preach. Deacons catechize. Deacons can bring communion to the sick, but they cannot serve the liturgy by themselves. That's pretty much the major difference. They don't hear confessions. The big difference between a priest and a deacon is that a priest hears confessions and can give absolution, and he can serve the divine liturgy. And some of the other services like unction and things like that, a deacon assists, but he doesn't. But he doesn't serve the liturgy, the service by himself. Yeah, Vlad.
What about subdeacons?
Subdeacons? Well, subdeacons, their role is mainly to assist the bishop. Like you have subdeacons in the Des Plaines Church, like subdeacon Andre, right, and Nick. They assist the bishop in serving. And then readers will read in the clerus, and they could also serve in the altar. Serge, my problem, I'm sorry.
What about the double deacon?
What about the who?
Double deacon.
The double deacon? You mean like a archdeacon or a proto-deacon? That's just an award given. That's just when you've been serving for a while, and the bishop says that you've been doing a good job. He gives you awards. Like a priest have them too. You know, you get certain things as you get older. You collect stuff. You collect bling is basically what you do. Yes, biology.
You said read scripture, and my dad says some Protestants have changed the Bible to stuff that it actually does not mean, because you shouldn't read scripture. Well, you should, but when you read it, you want to understand it. You don't want to just guess if you don't understand.
Well, that's true. That's true. But how are you going to start to understand something unless you get acquainted with it? Right?
Get acquainted with it, you ask someone.
Well, I'll tell you what. If you wanted to learn how to swim, and you were to come to me and say, Father Seraphim, you're the greatest swimmer of all. You've won 6 gold medals at the last Olympics. You're the best swimmer ever. I want you to teach me to swim. And I say, okay, here's what you do. And I show you on land, and I say, you do this with your arms and do this with your feet. Would you know how to swim?
No.
I jump in the water with you, right? And teach you how to swim in the water. You won't learn how to swim until you do it, right? We can talk about it all you want, but reading a book on swimming and swimming are different things. I'll tell you, the scripture are the words of life, so you should start to learn them. And they are complicated. They're complicated, but they're beautiful. You know, the Divine Liturgy, I don't know, it's probably 80% at least scripture. Literally, either quotes from scripture or sort of allusions to scripture. Rosanna.
What's the highest bishop?
What's the highest bishop? The one that's, if a bishop ever went to Mount Everest, he would be the highest bishop.
And like the name of the highest?
Well,
Christ.
Christ is we call him the bishop of our souls in one of the prayers. All bishops are equal. Did you know that? All bishops are equal. Did you know that Archbishop Peter is equal in authority in his diocese to Metropolitan Hilarion in his diocese? Did you know that?
Or even the patriarch of Moscow.
Even the patriarch. The patriarch of Moscow could not come to this church and serve unless he asked permission of Archbishop Alipi. Peter, excuse me.
What about Alipi?
Well, Archbishop Alipi is retired now, so the bishop in charge of the Chicago and Mid-America diocese is Archbishop Peter. So he's the one who tells us what to do. So all bishops are equal. As far as highest bishops, we have a metropolitan, right? So we consider him sort of first in, not authority so much, but, you know, he makes some of the decisions that it would be hard for everybody to make. And then, of course, we have our patriarch. What's the name of our patriarch?
Kirill.
So there really, to answer your question, Rosanna, there is no highest bishop, really. All of us served our Lord Jesus Christ, whom we call the bishop of our souls in one of the prayers. So I guess he's the highest bishop. Sure.
What are the ranks in the bishop, archbishop?
Well, okay, you've got a bishop. Then he could be awarded and be archbishop. Sometimes they're called metropolitan. And then patriarch. And in different churches, like in the Greek church, a metropolitan is a different thing than in the Russian church. In the Russian church, a metropolitan is considered to be a higher ranking bishop. Not in terms of authority, but they just have they're just considered to have a little bit more. They're older and they're over maybe a big see, a big diocese. In the Russian church, it's a metropolitan is the most important bishop. In the Greek church, an archbishop is the most important bishop. They're just titles. They don't mean anything.
Wait.
You got to leave already?
Bell is not for you. Bell is for Father Seraphim. So,
what is the bell for?
Let you go.
Are we done already?
Yes.
We don't have half an hour then, huh?
We got 45 minutes, I think.
We just did 15 minutes.
15 minutes.
We just did 15.
You were running late, that's why. You can probably have
okay, so let me tell you quickly about, I wanted to tell you about the laying out of hands, what you're going to see in the service, okay? What you're going to see in the service is a lot of moving, a lot of stuff. You're going to be hot, you're going to get bored. But if you listen and watch, you could see something that's interesting. The bishop, just a second, Oleg, I'll answer your question in a second. I'm going to say real quickly. Archbishop Peter will be ordaining Father Dimitri, and what will happen is some priest will come and grab him and bring him in the altar and make him go around the altar all the way around. He doesn't kneel yet, does he? He just bows. And then he will kneel in front of the altar, and the bishop will lay his hands on him and will say prayers so that he will be a priest. And the laying on of hands is giving the is calling the Holy Spirit upon him to give him strength for his service. And let me tell you, Father Antonio and I will be able to confirm with you, we need all of that strength. We are to what the one of the prayers is that the grace of God would fill the infirm vessel. You know who the infirm vessel is? Me. Him. Father Dimitri. We're infirm. We're only made strong by Christ and the Holy Spirit helping us. Okay, Ruslana.
Would you have to do it to become a priest? Do you have to do special classes before you become a priest?
That's a good question. I think Father Antoni went to seminary in Moscow. I didn't go to seminary. I'm one of these rare ones that we say that the kleros is the seminary. You know what the kleros is, right? We chant the services. So I didn't actually go to seminary. In our diocese now, we're requiring seminary in order to be ordained a deacon or a priest. So it's different. Wait a minute. He remembered again.
How long is the service going to be for ordination?
It's going to be really long. It's going to be way longer than you want it to be.
Like 6 hours?
No. It's going to be probably 3 hours. And you guys, you know, try to pay attention the best you can. And, you know, you're going to do the best you can. So, Serge.
Okay,
Just a minute. Serge, because we got new hands. Or actually, first Alosha, because he's a new hand.
Which bishop in Russia used to be the highest one?
Well, right now, the highest bishop in Russia is the Patriarch Kirill.
But
by honor.
By honor. Yeah, that's the good.
The past is the one with the green cloak.
We'll say that again.
Was the one used to be in the green cloak?
In the green cloak? I'm sure they wore a green cloak sometime. The patriarch, yeah.
The cloak is
the mantia. Yeah. Okay. Tatiana. Or maybe she. Has anybody went to Jordanville? I didn't, and I don't think Father Antoni did, but a lot of our priests. You did? Okay. I guess we're done here.